And we're now recording.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen, for thank you, Jen, and thank you all for being here tonight. We'll start with a roll call so everybody knows who everybody is, as we normally do in BCA meetings. I'll start with myself. There's Robert Altimore, then Jen.
Jennifer Parry from Blind Citizens Australia.
Andrew.
Andrew Webster from BCA.
Right. Richard.
Yes.
Yep. And did we have anybody else online?
Not at the moment, no.
All right, thought we didn't. All right, it's unfortunate. We've only got the three of us. I apologize. So I guess what we might do is invite Andrew to talk, Richard to talk to us briefly about my aged care. And I think it's both Jen, myself, and
Andrew.
Myself and Andrew are senior people in BCA. Andrew is the current policy council rep, and Jen is the advocacy officer, a New South Wales officer, and I was a former national council person. I think the focus should be on how we as senior leaders in an organisation can help other people with their my aged care queries. So just to briefly introduce Richard. Richard comes to us courtesy of the ACT Council Ageing and Jenny Mobbs, who recommended him for this talk. As there's only four of us, I propose that we may be limited to maybe half an hour, three quarters of an hour. If more people come in, well, then we might extend it. But I don't want to detain us any longer than needed be. I don't want to endanger them duly, but I think we should better. Are people happy with that approach that we set ourselves a half hour to have this discussion?
It's fine.
Yeah, okay then.
We'll see how things go.
Yes. Okay then. So over to you, Richard.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Robert. And I'm here to basically answer any questions or queries you have. But just to give you very quickly a brief overview of who I am, I'm 82 years of age, and I retired at the end of August 2018 from senior policy officer on aged care with Catholic Health Australia. And I'd worked in Peakbody provider aged care since 1991. And so built up a degree of knowledge of the aged care system. Now I volunteer with COTA, Council on the Ageing, to be part of the Commonwealth-funded Navigator trial, where people like myself assist members of the community who believe they need to have some understanding and access to aged care services and some help in navigating the aged care system and getting involved in accessing support, Commonwealth-funded support for their needs in their ageing situation. The gateway to the aged care system was created by the Commonwealth a few years ago, and it's called My Aged Care. They operate a national website called myagedcare.gov.au. And it's a government-run call centre where you can ring the 1-800-200-422 number. And the phone is generally answered within 30 seconds to a minute. And you get to talk to a real person. You don't have to worry about pressing buttons through a whole list of choices that you have to make. So it's answered by a person. You get to talk to that person. And you can talk to them about what the issue or concern you have, or how you can find out information about how you can access an aged care support program. And they will guide you through that. There are three types of aged care, Commonwealth-funded aged care programs. The first and basic one's called the Commonwealth Home Support Program. And it provides some basic support and assistance for individuals needing support at home to be able to continue to live independently in their own home and avoid premature admission to residential aged care. But as a person's needs get greater under the home support program, if it's insufficient to be able to support them, they can go on to what's called the My Aged Care, the Home Care Package Program, the Commonwealth funded Home Care Package Program. The Commonwealth provides funding to approve providers to deliver aged care across four levels, levels 1, 2, 3, and 4, level one being the lowest level, and pretty much approximating what you would get under the Commonwealth Home Support Program. Same with basically level two, but then when you get onto level three and level four, you get a more intense amount of services. And it's a very flexible program where basically anything that you need as an individual to enable you to stay living independently in your own home and avoid premature admission into residential aged care can be funded under the package program. And I'll talk a bit more about it later. Then the third stream is where no longer you can live independently at home, and the only opportunity to be then receive basically effectively the 24-hour care and support that you need is in residential aged care. Now, to access any of these three programs, you need to go through My Aged Care and you need to be assessed. So the first thing is to call My Aged Care. They will organise an assessment for you, and that assessment will determine whether you need the home support program only, or you need the package program, or you need the package program and potentially residential aged care, including residential respite. Now, under the home support program, just to give you an idea of the sorts of areas that you can get covered with that, it covers transport, domestic help such as house cleaning, washing clothes, etc., personal care, help with showering and dressing, home maintenance, and that's changing of light bulbs and gardening, home modifications, having grab rails installed in your bathroom, shower, access, and elsewhere, meals on wheels, a classic home support program. Then there's nursing, assistance with medication, allied health such as podiatry, physiotherapy, occupational therapy, and then social support's another one, and respite care where a carer may need to take a break. Now, all of those services are delivered through an approved provider, and under the home support program, once you've called My Aged Care and they organise an assessment for you to have access to the home support program, that assessor will assess what areas of support you need under those items that I mentioned. And each one has its own referral number, which then gives you the opportunity to link in with a provider and quote that referral number to be able to access Commonwealth funded home support. What the Commonwealth does is provides a bucket of money to the approved provider to cover the delivery of the services that that provider is approved to deliver under the agreement they have with the Commonwealth. And what they will do then is they will determine, based on your income situation, they will determine how much you make in the way of a personal contribution towards the cost of the home support services. In my case, for example, I'm approved to receive domestic assistance. In other words, that's cleaning, where once a fortnight I have from my home support provider, Goodman Home Care Services, I have a cleaner come in and spend an hour and a half cleaning my apartment and also making my bed for me, because I can no longer now fit the fitted sheet around the mattress. I can strip the bed, but I can't really remake it myself. So My cleaner does that. And she is paid by Goodman Home Care Services, who are funded by the Commonwealth to provide this domestic assistance. And my contribution is assessed by Goodman for the hour and a half once a fortnight is $22.50. So that's all I have to pay out of my pocket towards the cost of having that hour and a half of domestic assistance each fortnight. Once that becomes perhaps not enough for me, and same with the other home support services that I've identified, for which each requires a new assessment and a new referral number, because I'm only approved for domestic assistance, but if I need transport or social support or allied health, then that requires a new assessment and a new referral number. Then I have to go into the provider, if Goodman doesn't provide those services, find a new provider who will deliver that service that I'm approved to receive, for which I then provide the referral number. Once you give the referral number to the provider you've chosen to deliver the service that you're approved for, that provider will go on to My Aged Care and use that referral number to accept the fact that they are going to commence delivering the service to you. So that locks you in then to that provider to deliver that service, and that's funded by the Commonwealth to that provider, with you making the contribution that you've been assessed to contribute to the cost of the service. Now, as I said, once those services are no longer sufficient and you need more intense care, then you can go on to a package program. That's the home care package program. That requires an ACAT assessment. That's the aged care assessment team. An ACAT assessor will come out to where you live and go through and assess with you and assess your needs, and therefore assess what level you will be approved in terms of the home care package program. And that's, as I said, levels 1, 2, 3, and 4. Level 1 being the lowest level, for which the Commonwealth will pay annually to the approved package provider around $8,000 a year, up to level 4, where the Commonwealth will pay the provider about $50,000 a year. Now, that's to cover all of the care you need under the level that you've been approved to receive under the package program. And that level of care is also to be covered by not only the contribution by the Commonwealth, but also any income-tested care fee that you are assessed by Centrelink as required to contribute to the cost of the care that you're to receive. And what happens when Centrelink assess your income level? If you are already a pensioner, then Centrelink know all your income, and therefore they can easily assess what your income tested care fee is. And for a full pensioner, it may be that all you have to pay is a daily fee towards the cost of your package. And that varies, but it can be, depending on the package level, a percentage of the single person rate of the basic age pension. For example, for a package level 1, it's 15.68%. And for package level 4, it's 17.50%. of the basic age pension is what you contribute as a basic daily fee for your contribution. But if you're a part pensioner or a self-funded retiree, then you'll be assessed as needing to make a higher contribution. And in the case of a self-funded retiree, it's about $30 a day that you would have to contribute. And what happens is that amount is deducted from what the Commonwealth then pays to the provider to deliver the services. And when you're approved to receive a package, what you'll do is receive a communication from My Aged Care. They will tell you that you've been approved to to receive a certain level of package, and it's been allocated to you. You then have 56 days between the time you're notified by My Aged Care that they've allocated to you the package at the level that they've allocated it to you at. And you have 56 days then to connect with an approved aged care provider of package services and enter into a home care agreement with that package provider. What the provider will do is come out and meet with you, go through what you need in the way of services under the package, draw up a budget of what those services will cost, plus their case management fee, their care coordination fee and administrative fee. And so they will roll that up into a budget, and that budget will set out what the Commonwealth contributes, what you contribute, that gives you total income for the package. It'll also then set out what you've agreed with the provider you want to receive in the way of services, what those services cost. And if there's insufficient funds, then you have the opportunity to contribute out of your own pocket to top it up, or reduce the level of services down to sit in with the amount of income that's generated under the package. If the services you receive and the cost of those services is less than what is funded under the package, then you accumulate unspent funds, which currently sit with the provider and remain with the provider, available to be spent on your behalf as your needs may increase. And you can go from having quite substantial unspent funds, but as your needs increase, you may then tap into those unspent funds and reduce them down. But out of the unspent funds, you can accumulate more than enough to purchase sort of mobility aids. I mean, an electric wheelchair would be one example if you had enough funds unspent, where you could buy that, or you could buy one of those four-wheel electric scooters. That's available for people to, or a new TV set or something special, particularly for visually impaired people. There might be special equipment that you need, and you could purchase that under your package, providing there's enough funds in the package to be able to do it. And you enter into a home care agreement with your approved provider within the 56 days, and then the provider will automatically connect to My Aged Care and start the package for you, and they'll start getting payment from the Commonwealth for you on your behalf, and then they'll enter into the arrangement of delivering the services to you as and when you need them. And you can go from receiving quite low level of services. I mean, a good example is my brother, who started off effectively receiving a level 2 package. And then because he was approved for a level 4, he very quickly went up to a level 3 and a level 4, only in terms of the income. He was still spending back down at the level 2 level. And he accumulated over a period of a year $30,000 in unspent funds. But then his needs kept increasing and increasing, and his needs were greater than the amount of income regularly coming in. So he then tapped into his unspent funds. But on one occasion, the remote on his television failed, and he had to keep getting up out of his chair and go to the TV to change the channel. And he had very limited mobility and was very unstable. And so that was a risk to him. So we were able to buy a whole new TV for him under his package, because he had the unspent funds available to do that. Now, that's the second part of the three types of aged care services. But of course, once you get to, well, in my brother's case, he got to the point where his needs became greater than even the level 4 package, for which the Commonwealth was contributing about $50,000 a year to him. to his provider to deliver the services for him. Now, his needs got more than that, and he got to the stage where he really had a fall, and he wasn't injured at all from the fall, but ended up in hospital. And the hospital indicated that they wouldn't discharge him back to his apartment, only to residential aged care. So that was the next stage on the schedule for him. He didn't end up going into residential aged care because he asked the doctors at the hospital to stop all treatment and stop feeding him, and he subsequently passed away. But the residential aged care, generally when you get approved for a particularly high level home care package, as my brother was, you also get approved for residential aged care and residential respite, particularly high level. But for residential aged care, once you've got that approval for residential aged care, you can go in. You don't have to keep having a package and living at home. You can go into residential aged care. And in residential aged care, when you enter a residential aged care services funded by the Commonwealth, they do an assessment of your needs, and they will then, based on the assessment that the Commonwealth has, you will be assessed as eligible to receive paid to the provider funding from the Commonwealth to support you in the residential aged care service. And what the payment from the Commonwealth to the provider does, it contributes to a whole pot of money that the provider has to spend on the services, the 24-hour services in residential aged care to all the residents within the facility. So it's a pot of money where the provider determines how much gets spent on each individual that's in the service, as opposed to a package where the payment by the Commonwealth is on your behalf to the provider and is completely allocated to your individual needs. But in residential aged care, it's a contribution to the cost of the care to you. And you will be asked, on top of the Commonwealth making that contribution, you'll be asked to make a daily payment by the residential aged care provider of $53 a day, which is really to cover the hotel services that the provider delivers to you, such as all the meals you receive, all the laundry, the cleaning, the electricity and utilities that you consume, and someone to come in and make your bed every day, and also to do the cleaning of the room and strip the bed, etc., and change all the sheets. So that's $53 a day, which is a payment towards the hotel services. Then on top of that, you may be asked to pay what's called a means-tested care fee. And the means-tested care fee is a Centrelink assessment of both your assets and your income. And they look at all your assets and all your income, and they will determine how much you contribute to the cost of your care as a means-tested care fee. Now, that means-tested care fee you pay to the provider, but the Commonwealth reduces the amount of care subsidy that they pay to the provider by that corresponding amount. So the provider gets no more money, which is all they get in terms of the funding to deliver care to you is what you contribute as a means-tested care fee and what the Commonwealth contributes on top of that as their contribution to the cost of the care for you. Then the third thing that you'll be asked to pay for is the accommodation. And if you've got sufficient assets, then you can use those assets to pay what's called a refundable accommodation deposit, which is a lump sum. And of course, whilst you pay that lump sum to go into the residential aged care, it is to be refunded in its entirety unless you've agreed that certain things can be deducted from it. Now, if you don't want to pay the lump sum, you can pay by a daily payment. And the daily payment is calculated on the value of the lump sum that the provider has determined for the room, calculated as a daily payment, including an interest rate. Now, you don't get any of the daily payment back. You can make a contribution of part lump sum and part daily payment. So if you're not able to pay the full cost of the lump sum, and the lump sums that you're likely to be asked to pay here in the ACT could range from anything in the around about the 400,000 mark up to 700,000, that sort of thing, generally speaking, for the bed, the room. And that's why most people will sell the family home to pay for the lump sum to go into residential aged care. And as I said, the lump sum is refundable. Now, if you can't afford the full cost of the room and the lump sum, you can make a lump sum payment. And the difference between the lump sum payment you make and the actual cost of the room can be deducted from the lump sum as a daily payment. For example, if the room is 500,000 and all you can afford to contribute is 300,000, the remaining 200,000 can be calculated as a daily payment and deducted from the 300,000. For people who have low assets and are also on low income, the Commonwealth can make a contribution to the cost of your accommodation. And if your assets are basically below $50,000 a year, below $50,000, if you've got assets of less than $50,000, that's all assets, then the Commonwealth will pay the full cost of your accommodation. And of course, you can find out, it is possible through my aged care website to find out all the names of the residential aged care facilities here in Canberra, and also what rooms they have available, what prices they have on those rooms. And that basically sums up pretty much how each of these three programs works. And I think perhaps at this stage, I might suggest if anybody has any questions or queries. By the way, with my aged care, if you ring 1-800-200-422, there is help available to people. And people who, for example, if you can, what you can always do is you can go on to the It's the translating, the interpreting service and translating service, and the relay, national relay service. Yes, if you go on to, there's the website, but there's also, you can go on to the National Relay Service. You can select your preferred access option at www.communications.gov.au/access/HUB/NRS and ask for 1-800-200-422. But you may be familiar with that service now, and so you can get that assistance to communicate with My Aged Care. So I might pause here and see if anybody has any questions.
Does anyone else apart from me have questions?
I'll start with a question.
Yeah.
Richard, one of the things we've become aware of through our work in Blindness Australia is there sometimes appears to be a disconnect between the My Aged Care system and specific disability needs. For example, a blind person may need orientation and mobility inside a accommodation arrangement, or may need adaptive technology training to use a computer or other form, let's say magnifiers or other forms of, or even how to use the facilities on a mobile phone. And there seems to be sort of a disconnect. Are you aware of the disconnect between my aged care and these blindness specific needs of many people?
Yes, I can believe that that probably is the case. And unless there is particular assistance, I'm not familiar enough with what is available in the way of assistance for people with...
people who are blind or vision impaired.
Particularly vision impaired people.
Yes.
Or people who have... hearing challenges.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, there's the things like the National Relay Service, etc. But there's, as you say, it's the funding for the individualized support. And unless you can get that through a provider, I'm not familiar that My Aged Care actually does provide anything like that.
And we've found many people with those sort of difficulties sort of falling between the cracks of My Aged Care and the NDIS.
Well, and the what's going to happen, though, as I understand it, is anybody that's in residential aged care that is already within the NDIS arrangement, then the provider will have to support the NDIS and be registered with the NDIS, NDIA. But unless you can get, well, if you're over the age of 65 and you're not, you don't come under the NDIS.
That's right.
Well, then you get no, I'm not familiar with any support that's available out there for you in terms of funding for these in services, assistance services that you've described. But certainly you would be able to get that under the NDIS, wouldn't you? If we go into, if you need residential aged care or a package or the home support program, wouldn't you be able to get that?
Not if you're over 65, and that's...
No, if you're over 65, you're not eligible.
But...
Although if you're under the NDIS, I think the NDIS will keep providing it, won't they?
Yes, they will. That's right, yeah.
Provided you've joined it before you turn 65.
That's right, exactly. You've got to have been accepted before you turn 65. Yes. So I think basically, therefore, the gap is not so much those who are already accepted under the NDIS and therefore start to need aged care. It's the gap is for those who are over 65 and suddenly develop, say, blindness, and therefore they're not eligible for the NDIS. To be honest, I'm not aware of where there would be any arrangement for funding for specialised services for blind people, vision-impaired people, who are over the age of 65 who are not part of the NDIS.
Yeah, well, that is an issue on which BCA is advocating on at the moment. So I don't know if you want to make any further comment, Jenny.
Yes, and unfortunately, we definitely are pushing on that. And the other unfortunate thing is there is an inconsistency of that. As you said, there are a lot of people that have difficulty and then others that have seem to be a bit more successful, but it's not consistent and the process gap is definitely there. It should not be dependent on person having to fight their way and almost demand what's something they actually generally need. Be dependent on the provider being like that as well. It shouldn't be like that. It needs to be a consistent process, and currently it isn't. There's gaps, as you said. And the other part of that, and either for disability equipment or for other equipment, you mentioned TV before as an example, Richard. The question I had was, once it becomes apparent that somebody identifies and need a specific piece of equipment, does that require a subsequent assessment before it can be funded through My Aged Care? apart from the problem we've just spoken about, so for instance, a television or an iPad or...
Well, under the home care package, no. With the home care package, as I mentioned with the home support program, each different service requires a different referral number. But under the home care package program, once you're approved for a package level, you can use the income for that package level to purchase anything that is required to enable you to live independently and at home and avoid premature admission to aged care. So there's no need for separate assessment or referral. One of the things you could certainly potentially look at, and unfortunately the problem might be that, take for example with a package, this wouldn't be possible under the home support program, but under the package, you could use perhaps the first lot of income of the package to actually cover what you need in the way of the individualised vision impaired support to assist you to actually continue to function. So there'd be no reason why the package couldn't be used, package income couldn't be used for that. The problem therefore is if you take, for example, you need assistance with showering and dressing, and all the money for the package is going to be needed to fund that, then there'd be nothing left over to cover the additional support you need in terms of your vision impairment. And that's the challenge, I think. I mean, it'd be nice in theory to be able to say, okay, well, to your provider, let's start the package off with providing the individualized support I need for my vision impairment, such as the orientation type things or whatever, or assistance with equipment to assist with respect to my visual impairment, particularly in the home where you might need particular equipment and modifications, etc. I mean, it's all very well to say, okay, let's start off with that under the package, but as I said, if there's not enough income there to meet the cost of that, and also if you need other services that you want paid for by the package, then that means it makes it hard to cover all of that, and that's part of the problem of the inflexibility of this type of program.
Yep. Andrew, do you have any question? I'm sorry, do you have any question, Andrew?
I guess it's covering the questions I have, which is about that interface between the NDIS and the aged care packages, Richard. Thanks for talking. That was very clear about the various pathways under my aged care. I certainly feel a great sympathy for people who had a lifetime or a very long-standing disability, but they were 65 years or over at the beginning of the NDIS, and therefore they've missed out.
Yeah, I agree.
And they've missed out on support services that do not require a co-contribution, and also ones that don't, as you say, trade off certain services against other services. And I just wondered whether there are any moves afoot to kind of legislate or to change the way in which things are done. Robert and Jenny have talked about advocacy by BCA, which is kind of ongoing and active. But are there any signs of an openness by government to think about these things?
Well, look, my own view is that I understand why the NDIS was restricted to the under 65 age group, because that was the recommendation of the Royal Commission, not the Royal Commission, the Productivity Commission report. But by the same token, it is also the fundamental platform of the insurance basis of the NDIS. But where the Commonwealth has failed people with disabilities is for the over 65 age group, where they should have made sure that the aged care system and the disability system funded under the NDIS were more mutually compatible. And I think that's the part that really frustrates the life out of me. And this is where I don't know whether you've done any lobbying with the Royal Commission into aged care in terms of these particular needs as to how the aged care system can be better moulded for the over 65 age group so that it actually better marries into the NDIS type system of funding and so that there's less of a sort of sudden change. I mean, for example, people who are funded under the NDIS can in many cases be infinitely better off than under the aged care system. And therefore, the challenge, particularly for anybody coming under the NDIS who then needs to access residential aged care, is how much you're able to actually mix both streams together, if at all. And therefore, there should be a better marriage between the aged care system and the NDIS funded system. And I always thought that should be the way we should start to think about aged care. Aged care shouldn't be funded as a silo type program, so where you get these silos of funding and that therefore limits and restricts the flexibility of the program. And hopefully the Royal Commission will have something to say about these things.
Yes, I think we do. I think we do hope to work. I know that the BCA has been put this to the Royal Commission, and we're hoping they will say something. is there any other issues that Andrew or Jen wants to raise with Richard?
Not an issue as such, yeah. Jennifer here. It was really a comment. I thought it was an excellent presentation.
Thanks, Al.
Because I have family in my aged care and another person that's about to enter it, and it's made it a lot clearer as to what the breakdown of the different types of programs and packages are and how they intersect. So that's been really helpful. And I'm sure there may be other questions that come out of that later, but not at the moment for me.
Okay. Maybe, Richard, we could keep in touch with you. And
Yes.
I want to thank you for your time tonight. I apologise I didn't get a bigger turnout for you. I've been away. It did go out widely, but sometimes these things happen.
Robert, it doesn't worry me whether I'm talking to one person or 100 people. Yes. I'm happy to help. But the other thing too, that the BCA, do you have any link through any of the national blindness organisations like Vision Australia, et cetera, into the National Aged Care Alliance?
Jen, can you answer that question?
Yes, I was just unmuting. Yes, we do. Definitely do. Yes.
Okay, because I think that's a useful avenue for being able to try and get some of these matters on the agenda of the National Aged Care Alliance to be part of the work that the National Aged Care Alliance does in lobbying the government.
Definitely, it's extremely important.
Definitely, yes. Well, unless anybody have any other questions, I might invite us all to keep in Jenny and. Can I pass on to Jenny your contact details?
By all means.
Okay, well, yeah. And we'll keep in touch on these matters. And
excellent.
Thank you very much, Richard, and thank you, Andrew, for coming along and contributing.
No worries, and thank you, everybody, and all the best and good luck with everything.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Richard.
Okay, then.
No worries. Okay. Bye.
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 Okay. Jen, you're still, yeah. Yeah.